This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
That was the call from Will Fleming last night. Red Sox over the Tampa Bay Rays 5-4 in just an all-time Friday night at Fenway Park. The City Connects were out, stands were packed, and the Red Sox picked up their eighth straight win. And that is how we bring you into the Baseball Isn't Boring program here on WEEI. McFarland Energy Baseball Isn't Boring show, broadcasting live from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studios, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers in the Ford Summer Sales Event. Hurry in to get great deals now, including on F-Series, official truck of the Red Sox. Dan Ball with you, in for Rob Bradford, who has taken some well-deserved time off heading into the All-Star break, joined by the gentlemen of the Play Tessy podcast, the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI and Odyssey. That's Gordo, Sammy, and Pat. Gentlemen, nice to share a microphone with you. How you guys doing?
Great day to do it, huh?
Not bad, right? Of all Saturday afternoons to be here at Fenway, I want to go through the many array of calls on the Seydon Rafaela home run because there were some memorable ones and then maybe one of the most defeated calls from the visiting Rays broadcast that I have ever heard. It was a great excuse to hear the pop of the Fenway crowd, but we'll get into that in just a moment. But I want to go around the table and start with you. Just reactions to the game last night and the 8-game winning streak, because there were people who were poking holes in the sweep against the Rockies and the Nationals because neither team is all that great. These last two nights have felt a little bit different here at Fenway Park.
Well, I think that's the key right there. Right after the double sweep, 6-game win streak, that's if you're trying to bring it down, that's what you're saying. That they're just beating up on the bad teams. But the truth is those teams routinely do not get swept. They don't necessarily win those series, but they routinely don't get swept. Then you get a good team in, the Rays, come to Fenway Park, and that's a team you're trying to chase down. And you're down late in both of those games. And it feels like the identity of this team has completely shifted from this team that loses one-run games to now they're in the seventh inning down multiple runs. They storm back. They're in the ninth inning losing against Pete Fairbanks, the closer, with the bug eyes, and it just doesn't matter. Like, Seydon Rafael, if he comes up with a guy on base, the guy's getting in. And it feels like everything's just completely changed, and it's awesome.
We're a big vibes podcast on Play Tessy. We always like to, you know, taste the air, get a feel for how Red Sox fans are feeling. And we've had good vibes earlier this year, had a little bit last year too, here and there. But this last night, that Seydon walk-off, that was different. It felt different. Even watching from home, it felt different. Just the crowd was crazy, which we'll get to, I'm sure, in a moment. It feels good. This feels like a win that good teams get. This doesn't feel like a win that a bad team would have. And I feel in years past, Seydon would roll over that feebly and there we go. Go home. Ah, you won the first game. Oh, well. But last night, that was like a dream come true for a Red Sox fan. It feels like this team is turning the corner with the deadline ahead. The timing is outstanding. Let's hope it continues.
Yeah, I think the big thing, too, is 2 months ago, that is a game they lose 10 times out of 10.
Absolutely. They've lost that game 19 times this year.
Oh, exactly. Like, in even game one. Game one, they came back. Like, those are two games that they absolutely lose 2 months ago. And the fact that they're now winning those games is, like, a major point in the season right now. Because they're now winning close games. They're doing what good teams do, and they're winning the one-run games. They're not soul-crushing one-run losses anymore. And I think it's just all this momentum keeps going. Crochet today. Like, we're feeling good.
Yeah.
We're feeling great.
If you guys are a Vibes podcast, then this is the perfect day to be here on WEEI. And you can join the conversation at 617-779-7937. That's how you call. That's how you text. We're taking you up until Red Sox pregame coverage at 3:10 this afternoon. It is a crochet day. And something you brought up I think is really interesting, and Will Fleming admitted as much on the pregame show yesterday, talking about the change in identity. So when you see the beginning of the Red Sox season, whatever their quote-unquote identity was, didn't really seem like they had much of one, to be honest. But what does that shift look like to you?
Well, I mean, if you want to talk about an identity that they did or didn't have early on, it was that they're going to lose the close games. If your game is close and late, and they played a lot of games where it was tied in the seventh, tied in the eighth, tied in the ninth, and those games just didn't go their way, and it wasn't even necessarily because of like bullpen meltdowns. That's what you would think, but it's just it was every which way they could lose a game, they would find a way to do it. The identity shift is that when you're losing late, you don't feel like the game is over. You're going hot right now. They're on an 8-game win streak, and even earlier in the win streak, I mean, we'll talk about when it was at 6 games and they're down multiple runs in the seventh. It doesn't feel like the game is over, and you feel that as a fan, and they can feel that in the ballpark, in the dugout. When those guys don't think a game is over, it's not over, and they can come back and win any game, and you've seen it.
It's also jumped out to me, and you know, I haven't looked too far into the data. You guys may have, but the commentary that you're hearing from Will Middlebrooks and Lou Maloney is the line drive approach and the ability not to necessarily need to swing for the fences or the home run or strikeout mantra that seemed to be so popular earlier this year, but it's more consistent with what we were told drive line was supposed to be and what we were told that the theory from Breslow on down to Pete Fatsy was, which just hit the ball hard. Hit it hard somewhere. Don't worry too much about the launch angle, the exit velocity, the things that are become so important in the game of baseball. And it's just been nice to see the way the at-bats have changed. It seems like they've matured. And all of a sudden, you're seeing a lineup 1-9 who is looking completely different from what we saw in weeks past.
Right. And on the other side of the ball, you're getting length from your starting pitchers.
Yeah.
Something you haven't gotten it in literally in years. Giolito goes deep every time. Crochet, we don't have to explain that. Bayo's been going deep. Bayo had a complete game. I know it's the Rockies. I don't want to denigrate it. It's a complete game.
Hey, almost impossible leaguers to see in baseball nowadays.
Right, and then the bullpen's rested, so when a guy gets injured, like yesterday, Hunter Dobbins, the bullpen can shoulder the load and get you a win, keep you in the game long enough to have that Sedan moment. And it's just stuff that we haven't seen in recent years. When was the last time you felt good about the Red Sox in one-run games? I feel great about them. Last night in the ninth inning, I was calm. Normally, I'm panicking. My palms are sweating. I'm thinking, all right, Marcelo almost got a hit. We're looking good. Fairbanks looks crazy as usual. Sedan's on deck. This could happen. We'll see. So, again, vibe. This is a different vibe, a familiar vibe from years ago, but one we haven't felt in a while.
Normally, when Marcelo hits that ground ball, he hit it hard, and they make the play. It's like, okay, of course.
Yeah,
that's what's going to happen.
That's it. Of course. Bad luck. But then last night, it just didn't, for some reason, it didn't feel that way, and that's the vibe check. That's what we love.
I think the other thing, too, is I don't think it's a coincidence that the second they change, like, their hitter meeting approach, so it's more individualized, they start hitting better. Like,
right.
And the other thing,
too, what were the details of that, by the way?
So they used to do – so Cora was saying, I think it was on the afternoon show, that they used to do not, like, a lecture base, but it was kind of like a group setting, and it's like he throws good
– bounce ideas off each other.
Yeah. Fastball, cutter, sinker, like, what are you looking for? What's your approach? And he was saying that someone – like, if Gordo was like, oh, I'm going to sit fastball, like, lay off the stuff in the dirt, blah, 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 and they'd go, all right. What about you?
Yeah.
They go, oh, same thing. And like they just get away with murder.
Right.
So now it's more individualized and they're like breaking it down per guy.
And it forces you to actually do your homework and come prepared, not just to like learn whatever in the meeting. You have to show up prepared.
And it seems like they like that too.
Yeah.
It's not a chore. They're all constantly talking. Bregman around Marcelo Meyer and Roman Anthony is awesome.
Oh my God.
I love seeing that's invaluable. That's why you go get a guy like Bregman. And on the flip side, not to beat a dead horse, but Rafael Devers, he wasn't giving them the vibe they wanted. And, you know, it's more complex than that. But when you oust a guy like that and make it clear, hey, that's not how we do things here in Boston, I think it matters. I think it matters. And people will roll their eyes at that. But creating a winning culture, it's important.
The change in the hitting approach and the hitting meetings is such a fascinating one when you look at the makeup of the roster and just how young this group is. If you had a group full of veterans who have been through the grind of an 162-game season, oh, I've seen Fairbanks before. I've seen Rasmussen before. A kid like Joe Boyle, who seems to have very little idea where his fastball is going at any given moment. you know, you'll have veterans that'll know how to approach that, but these guys need the extra bit of coaching that any extra bit of coaching that they can get. And so being able to individualize Sadon's approach and his kind of wild swinging ways, reining that in is a lot different than Roman Anthony, who has some of the most mature at bats of anybody on the team. So it's a really interesting point that you bring up about the way that they're changing that approach. But the Bregman stuff, guys. We had the conversation yesterday on the afternoon show, and I argued that Bregman may have even somehow increased his value as a member of the Red Sox, despite not having played for the last 43 games. The way that he was just the centerpiece in the dugout, and as soon as Roman Anthony hits a home run, he goes right to Alex Bregman to talk about what he just did. To see what he has done in the first half of hopefully year one of many years as a member of the Red Sox, it blew me away when he was playing. It blew me away even more when he wasn't. Unbelievable.
Reminds me of JD Martinez a little bit.
Yeah, like very much so.
He would just have the iPad out, always be going over hitting stuff. It's like,
and he changed the culture in 17 or 18?
18.
Yeah. And then Bregman seems to be doing the same thing right now. And if you get the chance, read Jen McCaffrey's latest article on The Athletic about Alex Bregman and his impact off the field, like specifically during this 40-something game period where he wasn't playing. And it's just, he'll go around, he'll pop quiz you. You better be on your toes, because Bregman's going to ask you, how is this guy that maybe he's in the bullpen or maybe he's 2 days from now starting pitcher, how's he going to approach you? And you give what you think, and he'll tell you, wrong. Or he'll tell you, no, you got it.
Right.
So you always got to be on your toes, and he is always there to look at the iPad. He's always prepared, and that's just something that, I mean, we all know it here. They did not have that for years. They just didn't.
So we'll get to the news of the day, because there's plenty going on, good, bad, and otherwise. Sadon Rafaela playing second base today and batting second. Hunter Dobbins, we got an injury diagnosis for him. I saw all three of you guys weighing in on the Rafaela decision in one way or another. We have some calls lining up as well. We'll get to it, 617-779-7937. We got Jacob Lasner back in our Brighton studios producing as we're here live at Fenway Park. So, Jacob, I want to tee up some of the calls from yesterday's walk-off home run, because these guys are a Vibes podcast. I mean, the feeling walking around Fenway today is a vibe in and of itself. So we heard Will Fleming coming in. Jacob, if you could pull up the Nesson call from Dave O'Brien, who, you know, fans go one way or another on OB in the way that he calls a game. And unfortunately, he inherited a broadcast booth from the great Don Ursillo and Jerry Remy. So he's had a lot to live up to. But I will give him one thing. The call that he had on the walk-off home run yesterday night was one for the ages. So, Jacob, if it's ready, let's rip the Nesson call of the walk-off home run.
Swing and a drive! Oh! He killed it! It is out of here! It's gone! Sadon does it! The Sox win it! They walk it off against Tampa Bay! Are you kidding me?
I mean, fellas.
That was one of his best ever. I get on him a lot, you know, admittedly. Sometimes I feel there's a lack of passion. It's just not, you know, Dave O'Brien's a good announcer.
Oh, for sure.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But sometimes I want a little bit more. That was 10 out of 10, A+, no notes. Great job.
That was, if you're Mount Rushmore-ing it, it was up there with the Mookie Betts Grand Slam.
David Ortiz.
That's
his best. That one's his
best.
That's
his best.
Yeah.
This did probably have a Mookie feel to it, like that moment.
It did, right?
First of all, I mean, it was a bomb all the way over the monster, just like Mookie.
Right.
And so, of course, Sadon is the guy that.
That's what they said. Don't relitigate this.
No, that was always dumb.
So that was the call from Nesson. We'll get into Sadon in just a moment. I was going back and forth with Jacob on this. His kind of side hustle at this point, other than working at WEEI, is working on the Spanish broadcast. So Jacob, if you have the call from the Red Sox Spanish broadcast, I was curious. I did not hear this. I did not see this. So this is just.
I haven't heard it. I haven't heard it.
This is a cold reaction, buying some time just for him to pull that up real quick. But if you have it, let's hear what the Spanish broadcasters of the Red Sox had to say.
Conecta batazo elevado profundo hacia el palo izquierdo. La bola busca distancia. No la busquen, que está del otro lado. Y los mediarrojas de Boston acaban de dejar el terreno de juego al equipo de los Rays. ¿Quién dijo miedo? Ahí está Boston, señores. Ahí están los mediarrojas.
Well, I've nothing to compare to.
He goes on for like 20 more seconds.
Oh, does he really? Okay. I have nothing to compare to, but that was electric.
I don't know what he was saying, but that was awesome.
It's always the best in like a big moment when the announcer's voice is just cracking nonstop.
Yeah.
That was awesome. That was perfect.
Sometimes it adds to it.
It does.
It definitely does.
It's authentic. The authentic voice crack. So if my voice ever cracks on air, it's on purpose.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, just for the effect.
Come on, the voice cracks, the huffing and puffing. It just
write
adds
that down. Someone put that in writing.
That was Junior Pepin, who is the Spanish radio broadcaster. Thank you to Joe Braverman for sending the note across the glass for that one. He did a tremendous job on that particular call. And you got the voice crack on both sides. I heard Will signing off. I was on Red Sox Review last night, and I heard Will signing off after. And he was like, you could tell he needed a cup of tea at the end of that. But that's what I want. Especially from my, you know, from my radio broadcaster, there's something that's so great about listening to baseball on radio. I say on the radio, anyway, so that TV call, radio call, Spanish call, fellas, we have to get to the Tampa Bay Rays call of the walk-off home run.
So good.
Maybe we use the term call a bit loosely in the way that this went. We've seen it. It's become kind of a thing in baseball in recent years. You saw this a bunch with the Phillies when they were in the playoffs. Of you get those videos on Twitter of the home runs hit without the broadcasting call, just hearing the pop of the crowd. This was not that on purpose, but it kind of turned into
might as well
by accident. Here is how that sounded on the visiting television broadcast.
Wow. Red Sox win 5-4.
And that's all that was said.
Hey,
that's it.
That is exactly how I want my home broadcaster reacting.
Exactly.
When something bad happens. I'm in pain. I want it to sound like he's also in pain. That was good. I thought that was appropriate.
I would have much rather had that when Aaron Judge hit the home run off of Garrett Crochet to tie the game a couple Fridays back at Fenway than what was given instead. But we digress. And that's the feeling, guys. That, and I think you put out the number, the home records at Fenway in the last few seasons. Now 30 and 20 this season versus being under 500. Alex Cora has said time and again, if you're going to be a playoff team, if you're going to be a good baseball team, you have to be a good home team. And to see Fenway even starting to become a place where you send opponents and you send opposing broadcasters out feeling like that, when fans want to argue this team is different, that's one thing that I would point to and say, maybe this is a little bit different this season.
Yeah, I mean, come on. You're right. Alex Cora has been preaching it for multiple years now. We have to be better at home. We have to be better at home. They weren't good at home in 23. He preached, we got to be better at home this year in 24. They weren't better at home last year. Even when they were going good, they weren't necessarily a great home team. This year, particularly lately, because they've won 13 of their last 16 home games, it's been a different story. And so much of it, I feel like, is about having a roster, particularly offensively, that's tailored to the ballpark. Like, talk about Seydon Rafaela's change in his approach, starting to pull the ball. Like, he's using that wall to his advantage. And it goes across the board. Like, the lefties are willing to go the other way. Like, you see it with Jaron Duran. When he's at his best, he's shooting the ball the other way. The righties pull the ball. Alex Bregman, I mean, he hasn't been playing, but he's the king of using the monster and formerly the Crawford boxes to his advantage. And it seems like maybe him joining this team has helped get guys to buy into that approach. But you play at this ballpark, the ballpark has the dimensions. You're going to play half your games there. So it's important to tailor your approach to that ballpark. And seems like they have, and they've played great ball here.
Yeah, quite simply, they're using Fenway as it's intended to be used if you're the Boston Red Sox. I think that's great. And to go back about playing well at home in general, what you want is to give the other team the feeling that the Dodgers had in 2018 when they complained about, what was it, warming up in the bullpen? The fans were too close. Honeycutt, I think it was upset about that. But that's what you want. If you're a Red Sox fan, you want the other team to be uncomfortable. And too much in recent years, it's been not a friendly Fenway, we could call it, where the other team comes in, wow, it's Fenway Park, this is nice, let's take 2 out of 3.
And they fill half the ballpark with their own fans.
Right, the Padres, like, come on, man. And so it's nice to see, at least for now, I don't want to get too ahead of myself, a little bit of a reversion back to what it was like a few years ago when this team was dominant.
Yeah, I think the other thing, too, is, like, the atmosphere. The atmosphere has not been like this in years.
Right.
And Cora post-game actually, like, commented on how good the crowd was last night. This is from Cotillo. They did the wave once, which was good, and it was very loud. That's what we're trying to accomplish. It was on us to make this place uncomfortable. Tonight was uncomfortable. And if they keep winning, it's only going to get more uncomfortable.
Right.
Like, they're, yeah, like 8-game win streak or whatever. But if they keep creeping up toward the division or creeping up the wild card slots, it's going to get really uncomfortable, which it hasn't been for years. Like, it's been like a three-quarter full. They're a middling 500 team. Like, half the people there aren't really diehard fans. But now it's, we're getting to the point where everyone's buying in. The crowds are crazy. It's getting uncomfortable for teams again.
People can feel the streak. Like, people know what's happening. People have been following this team. They saw what they did in the offseason. Obviously, the start wasn't what you wanted, but they've seen what they've done lately. And people are just, it's almost like 21 where, yeah, people were dying to be excited about anything sports related because they were all cooped up inside for
right,
a year and
right.
a half. This, it's like, we've basically, as like as a fan base, have been cooped up inside for multiple years, especially in the second half of seasons. And it's like, this fan base is begging to explode. And that's why, and you hear Seidan Rafaela talk about it back-to-back post-game interviews, like, I just want to win. I want to play October baseball here. And it's like, you see the little snippets like last night of what it can be like if this team can get to October. And, you know, it's good that the fan base has given us a little sneak peek, but I really just want to see it there in October.
And the barrier for entry at this point is pretty low. You don't need to get to the World Series and win it for the fans to feel that way. To your point, you just got to get to October. And
the bar is low.
Right, exactly. And the way that this team is playing cardiac kids the last few days, it'd be interesting to see what they can do in October. But one more call before we get into trending with Jacob Lasner. A prominent member of Red Sox Twitter, just like yourselves.
Oh, please.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Great idea.
Please welcome Hogdale and his call of the walk-off.
Pitch swung on. Launches it! Left field! Get out! Seidan Rafaela! He's such one out of Fenway! This is your moment! This is your breakout! Seidan! The Sox walk it off! 5-4!
I had to take my headphones off. I could still hear it loud and clear.
What?
No. Wherever you were watching the game last night, you could probably hear that call when it was happening live, just whether you were watching the stream or not. But there is the prime example of a fan wearing it on his sleeve. But Red Sox winners 5-4. We'll get into the news of the day. Seidan Rafaela, Hunter Dobbins amidst the headlines going on right now. One quick call before we get there. Jeff is in Watertown to lead us off. Good afternoon, Jeff.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, how are you?
To me, the identity question is, the thing that's different about this team is for the first part of the year, you were waiting for either Devers or Bregman to get up a bat. I mean, you felt like those were the only two guys that were going to give you a chance, and you were just waiting, you know, for the innings to go by until they came around again. And the vibe again with this team now is like, I want to see every at bat. I want to catch every pitcher. I just want, you know, it feels like everybody is trying to lift each other up. You're feeling like they're trying to outdo each other. One guy hits a home run, then Duran wants to get his home run in or whatever. And it just has that feeling of like they're really like pulling for each other. And you just get that everybody's sort of on the same page vibe. And I was very skeptical of this hitting approach because it's like, you know, there's always like a new thing and they're going to try this. And I was a little skeptical, but it's clearly true that they're not, you know, striking out as much. They're not looking to launch. They're looking to hit. And I think that's the best part about this team, and I'm very much back on board. And
Jeff, you make a great point there. Like, they don't have the Dodgers, like the Ohtani, Betts, Freeman, middle of the order that instills fear in teams, and they're counting down the plate appearances till you get back to that spot. But the truth is, they don't have, like, you see some teams with their 7-8-9, and it's a free three outs, it's a free easy pass. You can go a little easy, save some energy. Save some mental energy. And it's not like that. There is not a batter in this lineup on a nightly basis that you are not confident can do something. And it's the same with the bullpen too. Like some teams, it's, you know, the Red Sox last night, they have to eat 7+ innings with the bullpen. Some teams would have to come out today and it's like, oh, like we can't really use our high leverage guys. We have to kind of make it work with what we got. You know, our eighth inning guy's going to have to be one of our middle relievers. With the Red Sox, like, there is not a weak link in their bullpen. There is not a weak link in their lineup. Most of the time with the start, like if you get a good start, you're going to be in a position to win the game because there's no weak links anywhere else. And it's that, honestly, it's a good point. Like, that's kind of what the identity of this team's becoming.
Yeah, and I think the other thing too is kind of tying it back to like the switch and hitting philosophy and the meetings and everything, they're not striking out nearly as much as they were a month ago.
And it's only going to get better with Yoshida and Bregman.
Exactly. And I think that is a big factor there too, because even when guys are getting out, the quality of bat, the quality of at bats is skyrocketing. Roman is working like 9-pitch walks every single time he's at the plate. Even Rafael is not going down hacking or swinging at pitches in the other batter's box anymore. Just across the board, every single guy, 1 through 9, has a clear approach, and it's been working for the past week and a half, 2 weeks now. And it just, to me, is just this, again, tying back into the shift in energy. Everyone on the team, 1 through 9, has a clear approach. The other thing, too, is 7, 8 of the 9 guys in the everyday lineup are steal threats. They have speed through that lineup, and they're going to manufacture runs one way or another.
They stress out the other team's defense. Pat, I'm glad you brought up Roman Anthony. His at-bat kind of got lost last night.
Yep.
Pinch hit off. This is a kid. This is a kid coming off the bench to face Pete Fairbanks. Say what you want about his weird eyes and the stair-stepper thing that he does. He's nasty.
Yeah. And Roman, by the way, I want those eyes for my closer.
Oh,
if
yeah,
I'm going to have a closer, I want something weird going on with the either like the hawk thing that Kimbrel did or the stare from Papelbon or the stare from Chapman. That's what I want.
Right.
Anyways, I digress.
Or just be terrifying. Like,
that's right.
Right. Stare everyone down through 104.
El misil cubano.
Yes. So Roman Anthony, that was such a professional at bat for a kid like that to come into, can come off the bench. Pinch hitting, I feel like people have sometimes unrealistic expectations of what to think will happen when a guy pinch hits. In a situation like that, to be so cool, calm, and collected and work that walk, which ended up helping them win in the end, set it up for Sedan, unbelievable. I'm so excited about Roman Anthony. I'm glad people are finally seeing why everyone should be excited about this kid.
All right, 617-779-7937. The McFarland Energy Baseball Isn't Boring Show broadcasting live here from Fenway Park. We'll continue right after Jacob Lasner gets us caught up on what's trending.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
How old was Zaydon Raphael Elfmark? That's a fantastic question. Zaydon Raphaela.
Might not have been born yet.
He was born in 2000.
So he's 4 years old?
Turned
4 years old?
Did you know what year he was born?
No, I haven't.
I thought you had 2004 and 2000 and asked how old he was. Okay.
No, I could have put it
just
together.
Check it. Just
simple
check
math.
It.
We're just talking about a Jersey aficionado across the table. That's one thing. But a birth year of Red Sox players aficionado, that'd knowing be, that off the top of your head, that's maybe a step too far.
That
I don't
would
know.
Be psychotic, yeah.
That would be.
That's being a stalker.
You can know their ages, but if you know the birth years too quick,
yeah,
you might need to take a break.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe, you know, go outside. There's a bunch of lovely things outside of baseball, allegedly, that you can do with
like
life.
Like these great fans right outside.
Oh, your microphone does work. Hi, Joe. Joe Braverman.
What's
joining
up,
us as well. In addition to the fellas from Playtesta here with you, Dan Ball filling in for Rob Bradford on the McFarland Energy Baseball Isn't Boring show. That voice was the voice of last night's hero, Zaydon Raphaela. We talked about a bit about the growth of Raphaela year one, two, into three, but now, I mean, now in full, I guess, full year two for Raphaela in Major League Baseball, he has not only grown into an everyday center fielder, which the Red Sox entrusted him with moving Jarren Duran off of that position in order to give it to him every single day. We'll get into the second base conversation in a moment. But now we're talking about a 271 hitter overall, 792 OPS, and since the beginning of June, he has been right up there with the Cal Raleighs, the Juan Sotos, the Aaron Judges of the world as the best player in Major League Baseball. So my question for you guys is, did you think Zaydon Raphaela had this level of potential in him going into his age 24 season with the Red Sox?
Going into his age 24 season? No.
Right.
I thought he'd get here eventually. I've been a big Zaydon guy. We talk on Playtesta all the time about Zaydon. Of course, I've been his big cheerleader on the show. But even I didn't think he'd get... He's nearing an 800 OPS. What would you have said, you two guys, if I had said, oh, I think Zaydon's going to be about an 800 OPS guy in mid-July? You guys would have said, I'm crazy. But here we are. So the defense, we all knew how great it was. It's game-breaking. He might be the most valuable defensive player in Major League Baseball at the end of the season, a platinum glover. That'd be cool. But the offense, I was hoping for a 100 OPS plus, which
average.
If you're not familiar with that stat, 100 OPS plus means you're an average hitter compared to the rest of the league. I would have been totally fine with that. He's at like 119 right now. That's unbelievable when you couple it with the defense and speed. Couldn't be happier about Zaydon and pleasantly surprised with how quickly he's done this.
Last 39 games for Raphaela, 331 batting average, 1017 OPS.
1017.
Yeah.
That's star level.
I had doubts about what his ceiling would be offensively. Like, that doesn't necessarily mean he can't be a valuable player, because elite defender, elite base runner, as Sammy said, if you can be anywhere close to an average hitter, you're a valuable player if you've got what he's got on defense and on the bases.
And he's so clutch, too. He does it at the most important times, like we just saw twice last night. He tied the game.
And like every game for like the last 2 weeks, too.
Right.
Like,
second inning, drives in the run and then hits the walk-off. You feel so good when he's in the on-deck circle and you need a big hit. You're like, okay, Zaydon's coming up soon. That would have sounded crazy a year ago.
Yeah. And I had my doubt. I didn't think – I maybe thought in his prime age years, you'd get maybe a couple of seasons of average offense from this guy.
What would you have been happy with this year?
Oh, I mean, with the defense and base running, like if you can be, let's say, like in the 40th to 45th percentile of an offensive player, you're like a stud.
Yeah.
And I'd be more than happy. But the thing with the Zaydon discussions was, you knew that because what we're talking about with the outfield surplus and needing to make a trade there, we knew those conversations were coming once Roman Anthony got promoted. To me, it was always, he probably looks like the weakest link. That doesn't necessarily mean he's a bad player. Like, as you can see, these guys are all really, really good players. I thought he was going to be the obvious weak link. He clearly is not. He is way above that. He's surpassed everything I thought he could do in every facet of the game. I bow down to the people that like you, Sammy, that had this from the jump, that saw the potential right off the bat, because he has carried this team in more ways than not. Like, he's just been everything.
Yeah, admittedly, I think between the three of us, I've been the harshest on Zaydon. Like, go back to, you can pull up the podcast from probably March, February. I wanted him in a super utility role so Roman could be on this team.
Right.
I did too.
Which was justified at the time, by the way. I have no problem with anybody who said that at the time.
Yeah.
And then I think, like, the other thing too is, I think that was an exact discussion we had probably on the same episode. It was like, what does a successful year for Zaydon look like? And to me, like this year, I would have been totally fine if he was like a platinum glove candidate, hitting between like 240 and 260 with anything
over
a 680 OPS.
Oh, you'll take it. 700 OPS from St. Ange.
Making me look like an idiot because he's like the hottest player on the planet right now.
One conversation I remember us having, this was, I believe, in February or March. I floated the idea, how would you guys feel if Sedan had a 690 OPS or like a 90 OPS plus, like just a little bit below average? Because the defense is so good, and when he gets on base, he's running. And we were kind of, I think the three of us were in between, like, I don't know.
It's like you'll take it, but it's like you'll take it, but when you have all of these other outfielders, it's like, who are you benching to get that level of production, and why are you doing it?
Right, it was a weird puzzle at the time, but he's making... I guess you could say he's making Craig Breslow's job a little bit easier because you know you're not moving that guy. He's here and he's already locked up too. We were talking about maybe the Red Sox regret that contract.
Yeah, like I thought that contract was headed for negative, but
and now it looks beautiful.
Oh my God, yeah,
things change quickly.
And things have changed with the lineup for the Red Sox today. We'll get into where Sadon Rafaela is playing today and some negative feelings that are happening, at least in the studio, about that. But before we do that, 617-779-7937. Matt is in Rhode Island on Sadon Rafaela. What's up, Matt? Matt? Going once, going twice. Oh, and I like Matt in Rhode Island, too. Call back, Matt, if you get the chance. He wanted to weigh in on Sadon Rafaela. We'll take our break here on the Baseball Isn't Boring program live from Fenway Park. When we return, Sadon Rafaela, we talked for the entire segment and for most of the last 24 hours about him being an elite center fielder that is growing at the plate. Why, then, did Alex Cora and the Boston Red Sox make a change with all of that in today's lineup? We'll discuss that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Back here on WEEI, the McFarland Energy Baseball Isn't Boring show, broadcasting live from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studios, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers in the Ford Summer Sales Event. Hurry in to get great deals now, including on F-Series, official truck of the Red Sox. Dan Ball, along with the fellas from Play Tessie, with you up until 3:10. We'll get you into pregame coverage of the Red Sox and the Rays game number 3. Sadon Rafaela today, after hitting the walk-off home run, after putting together a pretty tremendous season as the center fielder of the Boston Red Sox, is playing second base and batting second in today's lineup. Gentlemen, I ask you simply your reactions to the lineup card turned in by Alex Cora today.
Yeah, I mean, if it were me, we just spent the whole last segment talking about how surprised we are about how well Sadon Rafaela is playing. And like, I don't want to put ceilings on him anymore. I'm done doing that. But to me, when a guy that you weren't expecting to produce like he is, and when he's doing what he's doing, you don't mess with it, right? And that can be interpreted in multiple ways, whether it be moving him up in the lineup or playing him in the infield. Like, to me, the more important one here is the fact that they're playing him at second base. And obviously, it allows you to get all four of your outfielders and Yoshida in the lineup at the same time. Bregman gets the day off. Marcelo moves over to third. You get everyone in the lineup that way. But to me, it's just, when you've got a guy going like Sadon is going, and he's never done it before in his big league career, you do as little to mess with that as possible. It's not saying that this is going to mess him up and he's going to go down the toilet or anything. Like, again, done putting ceilings on the kid. But it's just, to me, if I were making the decisions, I wouldn't have messed with anything.
Yeah, my take is pretty similar to Gordo's. Positive spin on it, I guess, with Crochet pitching, this would be the best day to make a move like this. But quite fair. Simply, I wouldn't, you know, this is a cliche. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Sadon has been on the most significant heater in his professional career. He's been amazing, as we've just spoken about for the last hour or so. I wouldn't have moved him. I like him low in the batting order, take the pressure off of him. As good as he's been offensively, his job is to play defense, and that is center field defense. That's his best skill, and he's not able to do that today. Playing second, a position that he has five starts at, four of them last year, 57.2 innings, something like that.
Not one total inning this year as well.
One total
worth noting for a guy who's starting there.
And right. One day of taking grounders there, right? Do
yeah.
I have that right?
I believe. Yeah. One publicized day. But so it's not so much that I'm concerned about his ability to play a singular game at second base. I think he'll be fine. I just don't want to mess with a guy's rhythm. It's baseball. It's the most like superstitious, routine-oriented sport in the world. So I just think this didn't need to happen. But again, not the biggest deal in the world. Just not what I would have done.
But you do think he will play a fine second base? Like I don't think he's going to be bad defensively,
though. No, I think he'll be fine. It's just I want him in center field. That's where he brings the most value by far. It's not even a debate. I think we all agree on that. You know. So yeah, not a big deal. Just not what I would have done.
Yeah, I think it maximizes the offense today because you got Duran, Rafaela, Anthony, Yoshida, and Abreu all in there. Both kids are playing. Like, it's the offense should be really good today. But my thing with playing Sadon at second base, it's almost as if you're using Crochet out of the bullpen. His value, as hot as the bat has been, his best attribute is his center field defense. He's
right.
The best defensive center fielder in the league, and hands down. And I think playing him at second base, great. It's a way to keep his bat in the lineup. He'll get another guy some burn. But to put him at second base just feels like almost like you're not maximizing Sadon Rafaela, the player.
I have a question for you guys. If Alex Cora walked into this studio right now and said to you, your options are Sadon takes the day off today and we play Romy Gonzalez at second base, or Sadon plays second base, what are you picking?
I'd say you're full of malarkey. Just sit Duran or something.
With that exact phrasing, with the term malarkey in there.
Sorry for the harsh language.
Full of hooey. FCC won't let us be on that one. What do you think?
Sammy, there are kids outside. Yeah.
No, I have the same exact reaction. Like, there's no reason for Sadon Rafaela to not be in center field. None.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the right answer. It's like you've kind of committed to this rotation of, like, what was it? It was who took the first day off? Oh, Sadon did. When Yoshida got called up, Sadon took the day,
yep.
And Yoshida took the day, and then Roman took the day. And it's like, okay, now it's Duran and Willie's turn to take the day in the last 2 days before the break.
Give Yoshida the day off. Have Duran DH or something. Like there's other ways to do this. You don't need to have Yoshida in there every single day while you're doing this rotation thing. I like Yoshida, but you know, or you could sit Duran. Again, I don't want to keep beating a dead horse. I just think there were other ways to go about this without putting Rafael out of position. In this timing, the timing of it is just so, like, why? That was my reaction when I saw the lineup. Why?
It's just like, yeah, it's just why. Point. It's just why. It's not any of us saying that we don't think that Rafael can continue to do what he's doing with playing second base. It's just like, if you don't have to mess with something, and they don't. Like, Romy Gonzalez has been hitting right-handed pitching, too. If you don't have to mess with something, why? Why do it?
And they have messed with Rafaela in the past, which is something that worries me. Last year, he played center, he played short, he played second, he played third, he played right. And we talked all through the beginning of the season of how moving around Christian Campbell seemed to screw with him a little bit. That was something they did not let Rafaela settle in at any point last year. He played the majority of his games in center field, but they kind of took that approach of, oh, you're a utility guy because you're young. You can play anywhere, and you're going to grow no matter where we put you. So I feel like there's a correlation between he's your everyday center fielder, and he's starting to swing the bat like an everyday player and a pretty damn good hitter.
Here, so I figured out what I would do. Jaron Duran is 1-for-11 versus Tampa Bay starter Shane Boz today. So I would have sat him.
There's your guy.
There you go.
Very simple.
And it would have been on rotation too to do it.
Yep.
Yep. And this is also why you need to trade an outfielder.
Well, that's the other thing here. Is it possible?
That's probably the easiest solution to this question, right?
Oh yeah, before the deadline for sure. Do we think that there's anything to the fact that since Yoshida came back, the two guys that have not sat are Duran and Abreu? Do we think that any part of that is them sort of showcasing those guys?
I think there's absolutely something to that. And I would honestly argue that I think the Rafaela at second base thing is a bit of a ploy to show other teams, hey, I know you think that we have a logjam. We don't.
Right.
We have a solution to this.
That's an interesting way to look at it.
Therefore,
I agree with that.
Each one of the individuals that are involved with Duran and Abreu still playing in their normal positions, they can go to other teams and go, hey, we can ride with this all season. We don't really mind that Rafael is playing out of position. We have our best offensive lineup out there, and it brings a bit more value for Duran and Abreu and everybody involved, because all of a sudden each are more commodities than they were when other teams would think he had a logjam.
It's also why you see Craig Breslow with every single writer or reporter or podcast or whatever, everyone he talks to, he always he calls into WEI and he makes it very clear, we do not have to trade an outfielder. You guys all think we have to do this. We don't have to do anything. And this is maybe just one other way maybe of showing that they don't, quote unquote, have to do something. And the truth is they don't. They probably should. It's the best avenue to fill their need at the top of the rotation. But it's true. They don't, quote unquote, have to do anything. They can make it work if they want to.
Yeah, I love that. It's totally posturing, because they pretty much have to move an outfielder. But I love how they're like, we don't have to do it.
Right.
You can put Sedan at second. We're cool with this. I kind of like that take. You know, when you were explaining it, I was thinking, there's no way. But maybe. It is a negotiation. And
I know you guys don't know me very well. There's the Dan Ball difference. This guy's full of it. Oh, actually, you know, there might be something there.
No, you mean full of ideas.
Oh.
You said it. You started explaining it.
Yep.
And then a Rays fan walked by, and I was like, okay, this take is crazy. I've never seen a Rays fan before. This whole thing. Everything. This is so weird. But then
you're just having an out-of-body experience.
Approaching the booth right now.
That's not the craziest take I've ever heard. Maybe that is what they're doing. Like, we don't have to trade an outfielder when everyone else is like, yeah, you do.
All I'm arguing is that this group is pretty good at posturing. They argued like they needed Masataka Yoshida for a very long time to try to get 29 other teams were just waiting for you to DFA Yoshida so they could take you. But no, he's just hurt. We're working him back, and we really want him. We want him in left field. We want him in our lineup. Look at how valuable he is. Okay, do you want to trade for him now? Like, this group knows what they're doing in terms of how to PR spin their way into trade.
Yeah, Yoshida is so... We need this guy. But also, if you want to trade for him, we need him.
Right.
Over, under 3.5 innings of outfield work this year for Masa Yoshida
under
with the Red Sox.
Easy, under.
I think over. I think he'll play a game, and then that'll put him over. I think he'll play one or two games in left field.
I think the thing with the whole outfield discussion is, like, if you're like Seattle, right, you have Seattle's rotation... In the bullpen, like, you can live with that. Like, you can live with this kind of rotation, like, giving Sedan some time at second base. the difference is, like, you have holes on this team. Like, you need a number two starter. I would argue you need another setup guy or leverage arm. And then maybe a full-time first baseman. I don't really know because Romy's played great. The Romy Toro platoon there has been producing like an elite first baseman would, to be honest. But you have kind of these holes on the roster that you can move one of these trade chips to address, and you absolutely should. It's not like this is a full roster. Like, they have talent. They're going to have weapons off the bench. Like, this is an abundance of talent in one area, and it's outfield. It's not through the roster. You know what I mean?
All right, I'm glad you bring up the holes in the roster because Craig Breslow addressed that in a story with Chris Cotello earlier this week. Trades continue to be a topic for the Boston Red Sox. Despite the 8 straight victories, I think a lot of fans understand that there are still moves to be made ahead of the deadline. We'll talk about the holes on the roster and potential fixes for those as we move into the 2 o'clock hour here on the Baseball Isn't Boring program. Dan Ball and the fellas from Play Tessie here live at Fenway Park. Plenty much more, much more coming after this, including your calls at 617-779-7937.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.